Here's a section I want to talk about, and it starts off with a big underlying crime. Yes, I'm going to call it a crime. The crime is, apparently, from my understanding, that's a big caveat there, apparently it's legal for a military recruiter to lie to you to get you to sign up. Now, that ought to be just a vicious number one giant crime. But since we need people desperately in the military, they say, oh, well, now, picky, why do you hate the soldiers, Bart? But it seems ridiculous to me that it's legal for them to commit these crimes. Here's what happens. Some 18-year-old kid, you know, he saw the towers burning, and he wants to do something right for his country. And I know a lot of you think, oh, he's a testosterone-laden criminal who just wants to murder some ragheads. Yeah, maybe there are a few like that. But the other 95%, maybe. Well, say half of that other 95%, they sign up for the medical benefits and all. You know, if you're a 19-year-old kid and you get your girlfriend pregnant and you don't have a job and she doesn't have a job, signing up in the military is one way to save your family. And the other half of that is there's a little bit of patriotism there. You know, when you see the towers burning, you think, yeah, I'd like to get back at the sons of bitches. So this naive 19-year-old, he goes down to his local recruiting, and he says, sir, I'd like to sign up. And he says, well, tell you what, if you do sign up, you can really help your country, and you won't see any combat. And if you're in, and if after, say, a year and a half, 2 years, if you don't like it, just don't reenlist. It's that easy. When, if you don't like the movie, you get up and leave. And the guy says, well, okay, and what about that? Tell you what, we'll give you a bonus, we'll give you a signing bonus, we'll give you, you know, this many thousands of dollars for your family, we'll give you, you know, the GI Bill and this and that, and you say, oh, okay, so the kid signs up. Then, after being told that he won't see any combat, they ship him right to the front lines, give him a gun. You know, there's been a lot of stories about, like these National Guard guys, you know, they were trained in how to distribute food and, you know, maybe some are driving trucks. There's a lot of logistics involved, just a lot of moving product from point A to point B. And those guys get sent to Iraq and they're handed a gun and they're saying, go out there and, you know, we want you to go through Fallujah and ferret out the bad guys. And the guy, I don't know how the fuck to do that. What makes you think I'm qualified? They say, hey, do your job or we shoot you for being a deserter. It's like, oh, great. Yeah, I'm in a good position. But it's legal for them to lie to you. I think that's a crime. And I got two quick stories I'm going to tell you about it. Number one, big headline, decades later, Marines hunt Vietnam-era deserters. Standard procedure, military says. Other feel it's sending a message. In the summer of 1965, Marine Corporal Jerry Texiero quietly disappeared from his California base, plagued by personal demons and a mounting opposition to the Vietnam War. 40 years later, in the summer of 2005, Texiero, now known as Jerome Conti, well, that's a little suspicious, changing your name, was taken into custody by police in Tarpon Springs, Florida, after the Marine Corps tracked him down. 3 decades after the war ended, hundreds of Vietnam-era deserters are still on the loose, Conti's attorneys said. And the Marine Corps in particular are cracking down on long-term cases in an effort to warn current-day troops in Iraq against deserting. My view is that the Marines are trying to send a message to people in the ranks today that they too will be required to participate in a war, whether they think it's illegal or immoral. Now, there's a really just a basic disconnect there when they say you're watching TV and you see the, you know, the commercial comes on, they show the F-16s cutting through the air and they show the, you know, the Marines standing around with his uniform all shiny and crisp, and then you sign up and they say, okay, now we're going to Fallujah, we're going to kill every 9-year-old that moves. And it's like, well, no, wait, hold on. I didn't sign up for that. I wanted to be part of the proud and the few, and now you're telling me to go in there and shoot little kids. Or, well, and they don't tell you to shoot little kids, but they tell you, you're put in a position to where if you see something move and it's not an American soldier, you better shoot it before it shoots you. And then turns out it's a, you know, a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old going through trash cans looking for something to eat. Well, yeah, now you just shot them. Now how are you going to feel? Marine spokesman Captain J. De La Rosa says there was nothing unusual about the treatment of Conti. However, the Marine official in charge of bringing in deserters said after Conti's arrest that his office was being more aggressive. Chief Warrant Officer James, ready? Chief Warrant Officer James Everhart, who has commanded the Marine Corps Absentee Collection Center, that sounds creepy, commanded the Marine Corps Absentee Collection Center since 2004, told St. Petersburg Times that he had ordered cold cases reopened, that his squad had caught 27 deserters in his first 11 months on the job, a rate he suggested was higher than those of his predecessors. The Corps last month updated that number to 33 cases. I have a different leadership style than the guys who have this, than other guys who have this job. My job is to catch deserters, and that's what I do, Everhart told the newspaper. Conte, 65, can you believe that, 65, and you're on the run from the military? Conte, 65, said he was surprised. I thought they couldn't possibly be looking for me anymore. I would think they would have stopped looking for somebody who had been gone for 40 years like I had. Conte was held for 5 months, four in solitary confinement, then given an other-than-honorable discharge in January. If he had been court-martialed and convicted, he would have faced 3 years in the brig and a dishonorable discharge. So, to teach you a lesson, if it's legal to lie to get you to sign the contract, then how do they enforce the contract later? That just seems to be a prima facie case of horse shit. Think about that. That guy says, you know, think about signing any contract with anybody. You sign a contract with someone that I'll give you $20 per bushel of tomatoes, we'll say. And you say, okay. And then the tomatoes show up and they're all rotten. And you're going, hey, I can't buy rotten tomatoes. I can't make pizza with rotten tomatoes. Why don't you? And they say, hey, you signed a contract. Here's a bushel of tomatoes. Where's my $20? Well, no, I can't buy crap. Well, no, you have to. They promised to bring in good tomatoes, and they didn't, but you still got to pay for them. I don't think this is very good logic on the side of the military, but I'm not sure military and logic go together anyway. So this brings us to part two. Headline, 8,000 desert during Iraq war. Oh, here's the big codicil. But overall, desertions down since 9/11. Oh, perfect. Wait, we didn't have an Iraq war before 9/11, so what the hell? What kind of idiotic... Anyway, by Bill Nichols, U.S. Whore Today, at least 8,000 members of the all-volunteer U.S. military have deserted since the Iraq War began. Although the overall desertion rate has plunged since 9/11. Well, see, that doesn't make any damn sense. We didn't have an Iraq War before 9/11, so why is that even in the paragraph? Since the fall of 2003, 4,300 Army, 3,500 Navy, and 82 Air Force personnel deserted. The Marine Corps does not track the number of desertions each year, but listed 1,500 Marines in desertion status last September. Desertion records are kept by fiscal year, so there are no figures from the beginning of the war in 2003 until that fall. Some lawyers who represent deserters say the war in Iraq is driving more soldiers to question their service and that the Pentagon is cracking down on deserters. The last thing they want is for people to think this is like Vietnam, said Todd Ensign, head of Citizen Soldier, an anti-war group that offers legal aid to deserters. Desertion numbers have dropped since 9/11. For the third time, they say that. Why? Desertion's down since 9/11, but the war didn't start till 2003. What is wrong with these people? The desertion rate was much higher during Vietnam. The Army saw a high of 33,000 deserters in 1971, 3% of the Army force. But there was a draft, and the active duty force was 2.7 million. Most deserters returned within months without coercion, Commander Randy Lescault, spokesman for the Navy, said. Between 2001 and 58% of deserters walked back in. Of the rest, the most are apprehended during traffic stops. Penalties range from other than honorable discharges to death for desertion during wartime. Ooh. Private Slovic, call your office. Oh, you can't call your office because you're dead. Because you deserted during wartime, just like a certain president who shall not remain nameless, George Monkey Bush, deserted his post during wartime, and they made him president. And when John Kerry took shrapnel in the ass in Vietnam, they said he was the criminal. He was the deserter. He was the traitor. The guy who went to Vietnam and fought and got hurt. He was the traitor, like Max Cleland. But godly Bush. Deserted during wartime, says right here in USA Today, penalties range from other than honorable discharges to death for desertion. He didn't get death. He got two terms in the White House so he could start illegal wars and send 2,310 men to their deaths for no reason other than to make Halliburton's stock double or triple in price. That and Exxon and all the others. Don't we live in a crazy damn world? Let's hear a little bit from Howard Dean and Woof the Horror.
Let's talk about the war in Iraq right now. Listen to what the Vice President, Dick Cheney, said yesterday, because he seemed to be taking direct aim at you. Listen to this.
Some have suggested this war is not winnable, and a few seem almost eager to conclude that the struggle is already lost. They are wrong. The only way to lose this fight is to quit, and quitting is not an option.
I said he seemed to be taking direct aim at you because you had been quoted as saying the war was not winnable.
Well, I don't think the war is winnable under this leadership. This is a leadership that has made the biggest mess, not just of this war, but of our security in general. Here we are 5 years into the presidency of George W. Bush. The North Koreans still have nuclear weapons. The Iranians are about to get them. Our troops are sent into battle without adequate body armor. Our ports are not secure, and now we find that they're being run under the jurisdiction of other countries. What is this administration? Karl Rove thinks that security is going to be the issue? It's going to be the issue, all right. It's going to be the issue that elects Democrats. These people cannot figure out how to defend America in a reasonable way. And I think the American people are sick of this, and you've seen the polls as well as I have.
Well, you know, that wasn't a bad answer, but you know what a better answer is? The better answer is that Dermonkey himself said the war is not winnable. He said it on Meet the Horror. He said it to Tim Russert. He said, we're not going to win this war, but we can contain it. We can minimize it. We can control it, but we're not going to win this war on terror. And it's too bad that Woof the Horror and all the facilities at CNN, you know, I'll bet you Jon Stewart can come up with that clip. Somehow he comes up with clips from years ago that nobody else seems to be able to find. Jon Stewart can find them, but nobody else can. Now, Comedy Central, as John is always saying, is a little basic cable nickel and dime show. All it takes is a little bit of effort. Now, I don't have access to a goddamn thing here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but you know that Woof the Horror has access to those tapes where Bush the Monkey said the war is not winnable. And it's too bad Howard Dean doesn't remember that. It's too bad, well, Woof the Horror is intentionally framing this to make Dean look stupid because that's his job because he works for the White House. But if people would just learn to throw their own words back in their face, this war would be so much easier to win.
Senator Clinton of New York says Karl Rove, the Deputy White House Chief of Staff, is obsessed with her. Do you think he is?
I have no idea. I try to stay away from Karl Rove's thinking. It's gotten the president in a lot of trouble, and so I don't have any comment on what Karl Rove has to say.
I don't know if Dean has given Hillary some payback for her not sticking up for him when they attacked him for comments, but it just seems like the Democrats, they just don't want to stick up for each other. It seems like it would be so easy if they came up to me and, let's say I didn't like Hillary, and they came up to me and said, Bart, what do you think about Hillary's charge that Karl Rove is obsessed with her? I would say, well, yeah, sounds right to me. Seems like every other word out of Karl Rove's mouth is something dirty and nasty about Hillary. Seems like he ought to be busy trying to win this war or find Osama or something. Why can't they think about anything but Hillary? You'd think Hillary would not be on their radar right now. Why can't they bother with the things that are important and worry about Hillary when we get closer to 2008? But no, Dean can't say anything like that because he's a Democrat, and Democrats do not stick up for each other. How many times has Dean said something that was 100% true, and then when they go ask the Democrats for a reaction, they, well, Dean doesn't speak for me. No, sirree, Bob. He does. Just because he's the chairman of our party, why would we want to bother to get behind him when he tells the truth? Democrats, it's just so always. It's just so constant. Every time. Every time they get a chance to shoot one another, they take it. Every time they get a chance to take a shot at Bush, oh, I don't think it's my place to do that. After all, he's the president and he was elected. Oh, God, is it too early to have a drink?
Who's the black private dick? That's a sex machine to all the chicks.
Damn right.
Man that would risk his neck for his brother, man. Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about?
Right on. I see this cat, Chef, is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Okay, kids, get ready. It's time now for a day in the life of George W. Bush's trip to India. Here we go.
Today, oh boy, the president took a trip to India. People rioted in the streets.
We all yelled that to Bush. I think that was a little unnecessarily harsh. Yeah. Don't you think?
Okay, 9 a.m. on Long Flight Over watches Big Mama's House 2 five times. That's a funny movie. Don't kid yourself. Oh, well, thank God. That really would have tied up traffic.
Oh.
10 a.m. arrives in India, warns airport security that the place is swarming with guys in turbans. Did we ever have them on the show, Paul? Guys in Turbans?
We did have
Tremendous
them,
band. Weren't they great?
Well, yeah, one hit only, though.
Yeah, we're right after Devo, I think.
Just one big album, yeah.
11:30 a.m., Bush makes appearance on popular Indian morning show Live with Rajiv and Kelly.
Ah!
Noon, Bush wants to have lunch at New Delhi, he's heard so much about.
Ah!
At 12:30 p.m., upon seeing photo of Gandhi, Bush asks, when did Osama lose the beard?
Oh.
Well, that's not... Hey, don't go there.
No, girlfriend.
1:30 p.m., during meditation session, Bush is told to empty his mind. He replies, way ahead of you. At 3 p.m., blacks out after trying to pronounce the name of Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh.
He blacks out.
I nearly had a small spell myself. 5 p.m. finds Who's the Boss reruns dubbed in Hindi even funnier than the original.
Uh-huh.
8 p.m. racks up costly cell phone bill placing international call to vote for Ace Young on American Idol. Wrong with me.
Yeah.
9 p.m., a confused Bush asks, where are all the Indian casinos?
Ah!
Guys in turbans.
Ah!
11 p.m., Bush tips a hotel bellboy by giving him control of 12 United States ports. And finally, 11:30 p.m., meets Hindu priest who claims to have been shot by Cheney in a previous life.
President went over to India. People rioted in the streets. They all yelled that to Bush. I think that was just a little unnecessarily harsh. Oh, yeah.
Sad news to report over the weekend. Well, news. Slobodan Milosevic died. Despot, madman, genocidal maniac. Husband. Father. He will be buried. You know, the people say, hey, Slobo died. You gonna make some jokes? Hey, come on, people. Too soon. Don't you think we need some time, you know, to heal a little bit before making fun of Slobodan Milosevic dying? Seriously, though, it's a terrible tragedy, and I imagine there'll be a huge uptick in people naming their kids Slobodan. Come here, Slobo! And it feels weird to celebrate his death, and yet not. You know, it was probably just to get back at Saddam Hussein. Oh, you in the headlines? Nuh-uh. But let's turn to another troubled region. Seriously, as I make an emotional segue for the people at home. Not too long ago, hopes for a Middle East peace rested on a heavyset man named Sharon. Well, it's a sign of how desperate things may be now that hopes rest on a woman named Sharon, but pronounced Sharon. Specifically, Sharon Stone. The actress and noted vaginist recently visited Israel in the company of former Prime Minister Shimon Peres as a special guest at the Peres Center for Peace. Sis of ass. Now, seriously, what are you doing out there, Shimon Peres? Using the Peres Center for dating purposes? Perhaps I can give some insight into calls he must have made before Ms. Stone.
Hello? Is this Jessica Alba? This is Shimon Perez. We need you to help jumpstart talks with the Palestinians. Bring your costume from Sin City.
But actually, it's a very serious issue. Basic Instinct 2 actress answered the important questions of the day.
People just are sitting there going like, I don't care what she's saying. I don't care what she's saying. I just want to know, is she naked? Does she get naked in that movie? Is she naked? Nude, 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 naked? Do I see her boobies? I don't care what she's saying. I don't care. I don't care. Is she naked? So let's just get through to that. Yes!
Yes, John Stewart from Horny Man Times. I have a follow-up. At what minute mark does that happen? You know, because I'm flipping past the movie on cable, I'm going to want to know. Actually, Ms. Stone recounted Ms. Stone's bravery.
Said I was going to Israel. A lot of people went, you can't go there! You can't go to Israel! You can't! What are you going to Israel for? You're in a war!
It's always good to have a calm person in a war zone, don't you think?
My publicist, who's this great Jewish woman.
Seriously, some of my best people who arrange things in my life are Jews. But lest you question Stone's commitment to peace in the Middle East, she'd have you know, quote, I would kiss just about anybody for peace in the Middle East. Dude, you kissed Steven Seagal for scale plus 10. As for what accounts for her passion, we'll leave her the last word.
I was asked to come here, and I came in my faith.
I'm just going to hope she doesn't have a lisp.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. The Hammer of Truth.
Well, there you had it. Show 90, Bart Cop Radio. Often seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the BartCop radio networks, and boy, we feel good. As you know, a lot of pressure to do a radio show, a lot of pressure. So when the pressure's off and the show's in the can, I feel good, feel clean, feel fine. So we're going to celebrate tonight, going to smoke one, going to drink one, going to watch a little TV, going to relax, Mrs. Barbie home in a couple hours, oh, it's just going to be fine. When the show gets in the can, everything is fine. So to close her up, I'd like to thank the subscribers. I'd like to thank those who dropped the occasional check in the mail, because as you know, that does not belong to Caesar. That goes a little bit farther. So thank you to those people. And we got some new bumper stickers coming, and we got a rumor about some Bart Cop t-shirts coming. But so far, it's just a rumor. If I could get Neil to call me back, we would know more about that. But we're thinking about selling some Worst President Ever t-shirts. And no. Don't buy a Worst President Ever t-shirt that doesn't have the BartCop.com on it. Only get the official Worst President Ever t-shirt. Let them know that you read the best site on the internet, BartCop.com. Well, it's not the best site. We have the most fun of any other site on the internet. Oh, wow, check out how dead that sounds. It's so quiet. Thank you, Tommy. All right, I got to get back to work on show 91. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for reading. Thanks for sending the occasional check. Thanks to Tommy and Tally. We are out of here.